Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of the Razzball Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm joined today by our fearless leader, Sun.
What's going on, everybody?
And our hockey, basketball, all-around fantasy sports, poker legend, Viz.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be back and ready to talk some basketball with you two fellas.
Nobody beats the Viz. Nobody beats the Viz. Before we start though, I just want to say Viz is on a little poker heater, so send your love his way.
Yeah, let's totally go and jinx it right off the bat. And just so everybody knows, Craig may or may not be joining us here. So if you hear a British dude jump in the call at some point, it's not an accident. But he helps with our overall sophistication level, I think. So we do appreciate when Craig jumps in. Not only that, bring in the prospect knowledge and, you know, probably the most in-depth analysis that we get out of anybody, I think, when it comes to actual analytics of basketball. So, we're hoping Craig will jump in with us, but, so we wanted to get started. Obviously, we're coming off the All-Star break. I know I watched the All-Star weekend. I was a huge fan of the game. I had a lot of fun watching the dunk contest, the three-point contest. Something's happened with that, but it's just not that exciting for me anymore. I remember the three-point contest used to be my favorite, but something's happened where it just doesn't feel right. I don't know what changed exactly. But, obviously there was a lot going on there unrelated to fantasy basketball. Leave us in the comments probably what you thought your most awkward moment was of the All-Star game. There's plenty to choose from. But so we just want to quickly go around the room here and talk a little bit about the changes to the All-Star game, what you guys think. Are they going to televise it next year? Is that a good idea? But also talk about sort of what Adam Silver has been talking about. I mean, he's been obviously he's been ready to make some major changes to the NBA. And so far, they've all been a big hit. And some upcoming changes we have are changes to the playoff format. Son, what else we got coming up here with Silver that he's been hitting on?
I think talking about the one and done, you know, that's probably the main point of contention. A lot of especially with all the stuff that's going down in the NCAA, the FBI, and all that stuff. I wrote a little article in the preseason, kind of addressing that. So. I really don't want to go too into it, except for the fact that, you know, like, it's a stupid rule, you know, it just, you know, you just let them play, you know, like, I mean, these guys, they're not going to class, right? It's not like, you know, they're going for academics or anything like that. Like, you know, they've been given a God-given talent and they've worked their asses off to get to a point where, you know, people are willing to pay money to watch them play basketball, right? So if that's the case, and, you know, we do live in a capitalistic society, it's a meritocracy, like, you know, if you have that ability, you know, you should be able to get compensated for that. And, you know, I mean, I can go on a whole diatribe about the NCAA and just how bullshit that whole system is. Sorry. My little kid is asking me a question. Hey, guys, take it over one sec.
I mean, in regards to the one and done, I agree with someone. It's a horrible rule. I think we're probably going to end up seeing something similar to baseball where you either come out right away or you have to stay 2 years in college. I don't think the 1 year really serves any purpose. It helps develop the G League too, which I think what they want to do. You can send guys there right off the bat, let them develop. It's not like they have to rot at the end of the bench if they're healthy. So I think that's a good option. If it was up to me, I would just abolish the conferences 1 through 16, just go with that in the playoffs. They're talking about the 7 through 10 seeds doing a playoff to get in, something along those lines. I think that's just going a bit too far for now. I would just re-rank the teams regardless. If there's 10 teams from the West in the top 16 records, there should be 10 teams in, and you don't got to worry about, you know, LeBron's just destroyed the East for years. Well, right now they would be nowhere near a top seed. You're looking at Houston 1, Golden State 2, and I'm trying to see quick where Cleveland is record-wise compared to everyone, but I believe they'd be like the 7 seed. It would just change everything. As far as the All-Star game goes, I hope they tell them as it is the plan. It was nice to see them try more. And I think, to your point about the three-point contest, I really enjoyed it up until this year, and I can't decide if it was just because, besides Booker's last turn, like, nobody really had a good round, or I think they should get rid of the Moneyball gimmick, too, to be honest. I'm not a fan of, like, one whole rack of Moneyballs. It seems like a bit much to me. Were you thinking, like, along the same lines, or just it was just boring in general, the three-point contest?
Yeah, I mean, what's even the point? Is it just to have more points? I mean, I like keep it the same. That way, all of the records and the scoring are consistent forever. Right. And there's like, oh, he had the best three-point contest ever, you know. But, oh, since, you know, they changed the rule in 2012. Like, it, you know, just have it be the same. I want to know how Klay Thompson shot against Larry Bird. And right. That's the one event where you could really get it. Like the slam dunk is all subjective, and, you know, they right. feel like they ran out of dunks, you know, so, like, our JaVale McGee brought two hoops out, and, you know, and they just started getting a little crazy with that stuff. And the dunk contest, too, they're overthinking it. Like, give the guys two or three dunks each.
I think that was the one thing I was going to say. Like, I don't like that, you know, Dennis Smith's first dunk was – not good, really, but the second one was unbelievable.
He had the best dunk of the whole thing, in my opinion.
Right, I think so, and I think that all these guys should be guaranteed three dunks instead of two, and then if you want to have them do one more after or something, that's fine, but, you know, it was kind of a shame to only have them do that one dunk, because, like you said, it was ridiculous. I think the Nance dunk was really good, the double tap.
Oh, the double tap is going to go down in history.
Oh, right, and all of Mitchell's dunks were solid or above average, and he threw them all down with force, too. But
that was it, the flare.
Yeah, for sure. But so, I mean, there isn't, like, that one, like, iconic moment of it, because, again, like, right now we remember Smith pulling off this one dunk. Maybe we will in a few years, too, but when people look quick, oh, who won that year? Oh, Donovan Mitchell beat Larry Nance. You're gonna forget, really.
It feels like? Viz and Son, did you get this? It feels like they're rushing. Yeah, they're trying to rush through it. It feels like they're just trying to, like, as soon as they announce it, maybe they have all these too many other events or something. It just feels like they're trying to rush it so much that we don't get a chance to, like, sit and relax and really, like, get into it. It feels like as soon as I'm getting hyped, it's done.
I think it's both, really, because they have 2.5 hours just for these three things. And personally, the skills challenge thing really doesn't do anything for me.
Nope.
And now, by the time the slam dunk contest started, they only had like 45 minutes left, and then it kind of went quick. So I just think they have to space it out better. I mean, I'd probably just switch all of All-Star Weekend, really. I mean, you could have that one day instead of, you know, have like, I don't know. I would rather it be like a 3-on-3 tournament or something. And I don't know. It's progress from where it was before. I can say that much, because the game itself wasn't such a joke, where literally no one was trying the whole time defensively, and something, I suppose.
Well, you know, as the guy in the group here that watched the game, this is the rare time that the game was the more memorable, more exciting part of the weekend. Usually I'm remembering the dunk contest and the three-point contest, and the game is forgettable. It was totally flipped for me this year. I love the game. Was disappointed in the other stuff, and I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to spend too much time on this stuff. I want to get to the fantasy basketball stuff, but if you guys have anything else to add about the All-Star game, just jump on in. But I just want to say the main takeaway I had from the weekend was two takeaways. One, you got to televise the picking of the teams, and it would be so cool if they did it like on the playground, line them up, point at who you want, they come and stand behind you. You know, whoever gets picked last, who gives a shit? You guys are all stars. You know, who cares? Mm. Like, and then the second thing was Donovan Mitchell maybe having one of the most epic rookie seasons of all time, winning the dunk contest, just what he's doing on the court, the way Utah has really been playing behind this kid. Easily one of the best rookie seasons that I can remember, just all around in a long time.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. Can I go back a little bit?
Yeah. You guys rewind.
All right, cool. I guess, you know, the one thing from the All-Star game is, like, you can't have dudes like DJ Khalid judging the dunk contest. Like, you need to get rid of that bullshit. You know, what you were saying in terms of, like, you felt like it was rushed. I remember, I don't even know the exact year. I'll probably say, like, within the last 10 to 12 years or something like that. Like, there was a time when people thought it was, like, going too long. Like, there were too many dunks. So, like, they've been trying to, like, I feel like they're still trying to find that sweet spot. Yeah, so maybe,
You mean when they had endless amounts of misses?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They had the 1 year. Didn't, like, Nate Robinson try, eight times on one dunk or something?
Yeah, and he got, like, higher.
And he still won or something. Like, one of those,
Yeah, that's crazy. But going rewinding a little bit further, and in terms of the playoffs, Bill Simmons kind of broke it down pretty well. I guess, like, the top six or something like that from each, so from each quote-unquote conference would get reseeded, and then I guess, like final two or something like that, the final two spots or final spot will be a play-in tournament, so like an NCAA type, you know, NBA March Madness type thing.
I like it.
And I guess, so he would say, like, with that, you can have that own separate tournament, and then you could also shave off, like, five games from the regular season.
Right.
They would make
the money.
Right. They can make back all the money in that little tournament. And I mean, it's a single elimination. I would watch it. Like,
works in baseball.
I believe they're. I hate it in baseball.
Really different sport, but, though. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. But, like, I would be appealing somewhat in the East this year, right? But in the West, it's like the right to play Houston or Golden State. I don't know how many people are actually going to care. It's tough to say. I read that their proposal, the one Silver talked about, where it would be the 7 and 8 seed would play each other and the winner gets in. Then the 9 and 10 seed would play each other and the winner would play the loser of that 7-8 game to get the new 8 seed, so to speak.
But it's not like the NCAA tournament where you're playing for the right to get one game against the number one seed. I mean, yeah, you're playing against a number one seed, but it's still the NBA. It's still the playoffs. It's still a multi-game series that you're playing to get into, and anything can happen. It's not just like playing one game to get an automatic loss. I mean, you're playing to get a chance where you could pull it off.
This year, maybe it's a little different. You got right now the Thunder. I think they're technically behind the Trailblazers. Let's just say the Thunder play the Nuggets, and then the Clippers would play the Jazz. I mean, sure, it'd be interesting, but, I mean, say Utah ends up beating the Clippers in Denver. They get to play Houston. They've already lost to Houston four times this year. Like, I don't think it's just going to matter too much. In the East, on the other hand, it's way more interesting because one of these teams could – I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Raptors or Celtics or whoever lost in the East in the first round. Mm. And the Sixers right now are the 7th seed, and they have that type of upside. I just think in some years you're just going to – like in the West, the way Golden State's been the last few years, like it really doesn't matter who's the 8th seed. They're going to get steamrolled. So that's why I'm not fully convinced that everyone's going to want to watch it. But, I mean, I could be wrong.
I think it just brings more variety, right? Like because right now, like you're getting the same matchups pretty much every year. And, like – because the teams know each other so well, it kind of waters it down to some degree. Like, so like, imagine if Houston has to play Philly, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty compelling because, you know, just not on paper, it's compelling matchups wise, but they don't have a lot of history. They don't know each other that well. Right. So, you know, that brings a lot more intrigue to the matchup. So I'm like, I think that would be great. You know, one of the arguments, like I heard LeBron say, like, oh, he's not for it because it kind of breaks like tradition. And how do you compare, you know, like errors and things like that? Like, I don't think that's really an issue, to be honest with you, because, the game is always evolving. The game is always growing, right? Like there was a point where there was no 3-point line. Right. Like there was a time when people couldn't dunk. Right. So
yeah, there was no shot clock. I mean,
exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So, I'm all for it. I think it'll be great.
Yeah. And the era has nothing to do with divisions. It has to do with teams playing other teams. It doesn't matter if you're East, West or anything. It's just those teams.
It goes back and forth. There's always powerhouses, right? And before the Bulls and the Lakers and. It keeps going back. It was the Heat and
Pistons.
Golden State. Like it keeps going. Yeah, Pistons had their stretch too. The Spurs, like, in general, the West has been better, mostly because there's a lot of better owners in the West. But, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, when people look back and see, like, the Lakers titles from before, they're not going to look at – I mean, they're going to look up and see, oh, they beat the Nets in the finals. They beat the Pacers. But really, the finals were against the Trailblazers and the Kings. Like, exactly. Let's not kid ourselves, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure, it might make people look at things differently, but – It's better this way. It's more fair. Like, if you look at the top of the West, and it's stupid that Houston Golden State's going to be the conference finals, barring something crazy, because to me, they're the two best teams in the league by a country mile.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said, okay, here's how you fix it. Easy. NCAA, get rid of the one-and-done rule. It's stupid. And friggin' pay these kids somehow. I'm tired of the, oh, the good scholarships or whatever argument. No, just, pay the kid. There's so much money going on.
Go ahead.
No, I want to hear your opinion on that. I was going to move on to the NBA.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was like a, I think a former coach that I saw, he said like he did like the economics of it. Like if you pay every athlete $1,000, it's like $5 billion or something like that, right? Just because it's not just the basketball, right? You have to pay football. You have to pay all the Title IX sports. You have to pay, the lacrosse player, all that stuff. So the schools themselves wouldn't be able to do it because it's just
– Exactly.
Yeah. Or you can't pay everybody. You can pay
– Right. But the thing is what they can do is they can allow players to get paid, not from the NCAA, but from agents. From
sponsors,
advertised market, from the local car dealership ones, that they should be allowed to have access to that, right? And it's bullshit that they can't, So it's not a matter of the NCAA having to pay them, but just allowing them access, it's a free market society, right? So why is this like such a socialist, type infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
I really think that Silver wants to keep building up the G League too, and I think this would go just abolishing that rule and letting teams go or send 18-year-olds down and let people be able to watch them on NBA TV every now and then or whatever. I think
it would help.
I mean, the tough part would be some teams and coaches they're not really incentivized to play these 18-year-olds, kind of like what happens in Europe a decent amount of the time, but.
Right.
You worry about that when you get there. I just think the way it is now is just so broken.
Or, if you're going
to – because there are some guys – I mean, look at Dwight Howard. Like, it would have done him no good to go to 1 year of college. The dude has been a freak of nature, like LeBron. Like, these guys are just such absurd athletes. It would have done them absolutely zero good.
Well, look at, like, Carmelo Anthony goes to college 1 year, and they win the title. Like, because he's amazing. Like, he should have gone right to the NBA. Or how about one and done, but they have to play in the G League a year if you want to build up the G League. But,
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they decide, because I think that and the playoffs are the two big things. Silver seems like he wants to make his mark somehow, and I'm a big proponent of the playoff change for sure.
Honestly, what do you think, Viz? Get rid of divisions altogether. Like they only exist air travel and before they only exist when traveling was difficult. Like just make the season a couple weeks longer so you don't have, crazy back to backs and from Miami to LA or something. But, just the schedule guys. It's a tough job, but they only have to do it one time a year, figure it out, and have divisions whatsoever. Just have the best team, have everyone play, top 16, get in.
If you want to have it, a simple way to do it, and everyone talks about wanting to reduce the schedule too, right? You can keep the conferences, even though if they don't really matter. You play everyone in your own conference three times, and yes, it sucks that you're going to have to play the team twice on the road and once at home, but just switch the next year, that's fine. And then you play everyone in the other conference twice, so that's 58 and 14. That's 72 games. Now you cut out 10 games, and it's an easy way to do it, and you can use the divisions that way or the conferences that way.
I hesitate with history of when reducing games because that screws with, like, season-long records and stuff like that.
Part of me thinks that they're going to end up getting to that point, though. I don't think Silver likes the 82 games.
I think conferences get demolished before – the number of games gets reduced.
Yeah, just because money.
Yeah. But if you could turn, if you do turn those last games into some kind of cool little playoff thing where you take those boring last couple weeks where nobody wants to get their guys hurt anyway, and there's maybe like two or three good games to like get in, and you turn it into like 2 weeks of like a bunch of awesome games.
I think that, I mean, he's a big fan of like the European soccer system, and they have like in-season cups. And I would not be surprised if at some point, like, they have some in-season tournament that they try to make worth something, even though it might not really be a big deal here to begin with. I don't know. I think, long story short, I have faith in Silver. He seems like a great commissioner, probably the best in any sport for quite some time. And I don't know. I'm fine with him being the guy leading the charge, whatever he decides.
Well, I don't want to ruin it, but I am writing a pretty in-depth article for the site to pay attention. And it has to do with the future of the NBA and stuff like that. So I look forward to hearing everyone's comments on what I have to say in that. But are you guys good? Anything else you want to comment on as far as changes go? Or should we move on to, as a Jimmy Butler owner in a league where I am in first place in a money league, although I'm up by 10 points, but I don't have a great bench in that league. Like, I have James Johnson.
Neither do the Timberwolves.
That's true. So, okay, so Jimmy Butler going down 4 to 6 weeks, can potentially come back for the fantasy playoffs, so we don't want to drop him. Bielka looks like a decent replacement, but obviously not a huge replacement. Start with Viz this time, of his thoughts on Jimmy Butler replacements. What is everyone going to do? If you own Jimmy Butler, if you don't own him, who do you want to target? What do we do, man?
So, I mean, obviously you have Butler. It's just a brutal beat for you. I honestly think the biggest beneficiary on the Timberwolves is going to be Towns. He's just going to get the touches that, quite frankly, he deserves anyway. It's kind of ridiculous that he doesn't shoot more than he does, because he's just unbelievable. There's nobody in the league that can stop him on the post on a regular basis. So he's going to get the bigger boost. I mean, yeah, you mentioned Yelitsa and Teague, and they're probably going to play like Marcus George's Hunt, because he's like the only two-way guy they have. I mean, Jamal Crawford's going to play more. It's a lot of guys who honestly don't do much for me at all from a fantasy perspective. So I would be looking to a different team somewhere else. I mean, obviously you're not going to find a guy close to Butler's ability on the waiver wire. I'd be looking to stream the spot probably to just get as many stars as you can instead. There's no direct replacement, even like close to it. I mean, guys who've been playing well lately that could be available in your league, like a Satoransky or a DeJounte Murray, something along those lines. I mean, maybe in your league, the Paul Millsap owner cut him a while ago, and he should be back in their next game. It's just hard to find anywhere to go. And I mean, I don't think it's going to hurt the Timberwolves too much, mostly because, one, we're talking only 12, 15 games. I mean, maybe they fall to the sixth seed or something instead of finishing third where they are right now. But again, offensively, I don't think it's going to hurt them that much. Defensively now, they're in a really tough way, because you look at the rest of the team and who's a plus defender, and it's like Taj and Gorgui Jang, like the big spots, they don't have a good wing defender. Like, Wiggins is good when he's the second defender, but when he's defending the main guy, he hasn't done well in the past. And like I said, the only other guy I could think of that can actually play defense on this team is Marcus George's Hunt, and he's not a great athlete. So it's a tough beat for Minnesota, and I mean, they just got to hope that he's back come actual playoff time, and it's only the 4 to 6 week range and not 6 to 8.
Good thing this is a fantasy basketball podcast and we don't give a crap about what Minnesota does. So just kidding, Biz. Great insight there. Son, what do you think, man?
There's really slim pickings on the wire, like Biz said. You know, you're not replacing, Butler's production. You know, Bielisa was the guy to pick up. He's going to get the minutes. I hear what you're saying on the cat in terms of he's, you know, being the main beneficiary. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. But what really pisses me off about that team is Wiggins, right? Like, there's no reason why a cat shouldn't be getting 15 to 20 shot attempts per game.
Oh, yeah.
But Wiggins shoots 15 to 18 every single game and misses like 10 of them every single game. Horrible. You know, he sucks. He's terrible. You know, and you know he doesn't contribute in the periphery categories. But you know, with that said, I kind of think he's a pretty big beneficiary in this, just because he's going to be jacking up more shots.
Yeah,
which is kind of crazy. You know, he's getting 30, what did he play? 37, 35, 36 the last three games. So, but to Towns, I just want to say how unbelievable he is. You know, he's the leader in double doubles by a landslide by like 9, 54 double doubles. He's played 64 games. That's crazy. You know, so good. But yeah, you know, he should be getting, you know, 20 shot attempts a game, but I just don't know if, you know, if he will. I don't know. That's my rant for the day. How's that?
I mean, just quick before you go, Brent, like, just imagine if instead of Wiggins, they had like Josh Richardson, how much better this team would be, because Wiggins just is such a black hole. And it's amazing. They're still third in the league offensively, even with Wiggins shooting 44%, shooting poorly from the line this year too. Like, last year, at least, he was like 76%. This year, he's at 63. Like, he's just, I don't know, man. He's just been bad, and it's crazy. Like, him and Butler take the same amount of shots on the season, and Towns is two less per game, and that's just so backwards.
Too bad this didn't happen before the All-Star break, and they could trade for Tyreek Evans or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I think as a Butler owner, so I could speak firsthand about scrambling to replace him. I'm in a 14-team league, but we have pretty deep benches, so waiver wire is pretty slim pickings. I'm kind of hoping to replace him with sort of a mixture of Josh Hart, Reggie Bullock. I had James Johnson, but 11 minutes tonight and two shots and nothing else. And I dropped him and picked up Jeremy Lamb. Because I was looking, Lamb actually has not been terrible lately if you're in a pretty deep league. He's gotten like five or six assists the last four games, five or six rebounds. I mean, you're not going to get points, 10 to 13 points, but he's been hitting 1 to 2 threes, not many defensive stats. But if you need some assists, some boards and some threes mixed in, I don't think he's missed a free throw in like 2 months, though. So pretty good percentages, not a great field goal percentage. But so my deeper league look to for Butler replacements, if Bielka's gone, I definitely would grab Bielka. Jeremy Lamb, someone to look at. Josh Hart, if you're in shallower leagues. It looks like Ball is going to kind of be in and out of the lineup with injuries and stuff. So I wouldn't worry too much about Hart's minutes. Another guy who's sort of like a little bit better, Jeremy Lamb, but with some defensive stats, is Hart. Bullock is looking a lot like a Thragnoff at this point. He got five assists the other night, but that's really rare. So if you need, you know, Bullock's sort of a Thragnoff. Caris LeVert is back. He's someone I looked at. He's getting between 20 and 25. The Nets just are playing so deep. I mean, they're going so deep, Emeka Okafor's fucking playing. So that's deep. So that's tough, but LeVert is someone to look at in deeper leagues. You know, Scal Labissiere, not a Butler type of player, but he's another guy who could be out there. I retweeted a tweet I sent out on January like 20th telling you to grab this guy. He dropped 20 points last night. He got 31 minutes. I think he's going to be a strong finisher. So Scal is out there. I recommend grabbing him, you know, especially now that you got that spot opened up with Butler. Am I missing anybody, guys? Is this a good list? What do you guys think for replacement? No,
how about like Oubre?
Yeah, Oubre. Yeah.
Yeah, I talked about him last time, and then he had his ridiculous 38-point game, and it's not consistent at all. But Bobby Portis, too, it's not similar to Butler at all. But if you need some good boards, he's going to take a lot of shots. Yeah, Scal Bissier is definitely an interesting one. He had that huge game, but that was without Randolph playing. But, man, I got to assume he's going to rest a bunch down the stretch as the team start the tank race. To pivot quick, like, with – Dwayne Wade going to Miami, I don't know what is going on there, but he's taking so many shots, and it is driving me insane. Like, I know today he ended up having 27 points in 25 minutes. He was also minus 16 in that time. Like, they're just getting murdered when he's on the floor, and he took the game-winning shot three times. He hit it today, actually, but the other two games he hasn't. Like, he might play the Heat out of the playoffs at this point. Like, he is just not good at this point in his career.
And I didn't like I'm not a big Tyler Johnson and fantasy fan anyway. Mm-hmm. Justice Winslow had so much potential, but, you know, forget him. James Johnson, I grabbed him off waivers. He looked like he was coming back, and then Dwayne Wade goes, and becomes a black hole of awfulness to destroy any fantasy value any of these Mike Minor Heat guys had at all. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I would avoid those guys.
Yeah, I mean, since he's gone to Miami, first game, 1-for-6, then 4-for-9, 4-for-13, 7-for-20. He's never played more than 26 minutes in any of these games. He had his first quote-unquote good game today with 10-for-16 and 27 points in 25 minutes. But like I said, minus 16 in those minutes. Like, he is just bad and hurting that team. And it sucks, like as you said, he's killing the value of all these other guys. You look at how they did today. I mean, with Whiteside, Dragic, and actually Olynyk, they killed it on the floor. All those guys were plus 11 or better. And all the other guys were, like, breaking even. And then, you know, Bam played 7 minutes, but it was only with Wade. He was minus 17, did nothing, and that was all he played. You know, Ellington's not playing really anymore because Wade's eating his minutes. Team is just a mess.
You can no longer trust Bam, Winslow, Tyler Johnson, Ellington, James Johnson. Those guys are done.
Yeah, it's really just Richardson, Whiteside, and Dragic at this point.
Yep. And even, you know, Olynyk, like, here and there, once he starts getting some minutes and maybe like DFS. I've been getting a lot of DFS questions lately. So just if anyone wants to follow me on Twitter, I'm going to try to do sort of a DFS sleeper tweet every day, just as a plug. But
check out the Stocktonator for the DFS stuff, because
Rudy's
stuff has been killing it.
The stock, if you guys don't know what this is, if you go to basketball.rasball.com and go to any one of Sun's recaps, and there'll be a little plug for the Stocktonator. Click on that. I think it's like $5 a month or something, and it is amazing. Like, all the questions that you need, that thing will answer. And if, you know, pennies a day is worth, you know, staying up all night, pulling your hair out, not knowing who to play, then go get that thing, because it's
if you play DFS, it just helps you tremendously.
Oh, yeah. Big time. It's definitely worth the investment. Your ROI is going to be definitely up there. So we hit Butler. We've been talking about replacements. You know, what else are you guys seeing out there? Sun, you know, in your – what are you seeing out there in fantasy basketball people should be paying attention to?
What do you like in terms of what pickup?
This point of the season, any guys that we kind of see where things stand after the All-Star break, any guys that you really like that you're excited about, or on the reverse of that, guys that you're not excited about?
You know, I'm not going to go into a specific player, actually. I think more – there's some things I've been noticing from, like, a more macro sense. Since Boogie's gone down, so I think it's been, like, 10 games or something like that, New Orleans is playing at the fastest pace in the league by, like, a pretty significant margin, faster than the Suns, the Warriors. And if you notice, like, the past, you know, few games, I mean, those games have been shooting out. Like, AD, right? He's scoring 50 a game, right? Every single game. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And also on the flip side, Houston, over the last 10 games, has been playing at the slowest pace. Which is, you know, I was kind of shocked to see those two things. But, you know, I think that's definitely – you know, obviously relevant for DFS, but also, you know, for season long as well. If you're going to stream or, you know, do matchups and things like that, you know, you want to, you know, clue in on pace up, pace down games, things like that.
What about guys like, Gerald Green, or just on Houston really quick. So I know that was one of the things we talked about, kind of talking about. They're on this crazy run. But we all know the main fantasy guys there, but who are the guys that maybe have some sneaky value that might still be out there somewhere, or if any? Is Gerald Green?
How deep of a league are we talking?
Say the 14 to 16 team leagues.
I'm trying to think. Maybe Nene, actually. Well, Capella didn't play yesterday. I watched the whole game with Utah. I was just impressed with Houston defensively, actually, on a back-to-back. They only had 9 active guys, and they were locked down on Utah in the second half. It was pretty impressive. I mean, yeah, Gerald Green is your standard Dragunov, and he could get hot at any time. His last 4 games have been duds. Before that, he was on like a 6-game run of playing well, so you never know what you're going to get from him.
Joe Johnson is looks like Joe Johnson's taking over for him.
Yep.
Yeah, they played him and PJ Tucker a lot of the time. They actually played a lineup yesterday with Mbah Mute at the 5-2. I mean, granted, that was because Capella was out with illness, but...
Joe's got 30 minutes. He's played almost 30 minutes in 3 of the last 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, as long as Ryan Anderson's out, they don't have too many alternatives if they're going to play Tucker at center some, too. So, I mean, he looked kind of shot to me in Utah. He's going to be able to get to his spot, right?
Well, he hasn't done shit.
Right, and I'm not sure it's going to get much better. I mean, he might have the random occasional hot game, but it really is just...
I'd take Tucker. Would you take Tucker over Joe Johnson?
Probably. As long as you don't really care about the points, because Tucker's really not going to give you much there, but it should be decent boards and probably decent steals for a big guy, too, at least. It's tough, man. Like, in a deeper, 20-team league or something, I think a lot of these guys have some value, at least. But in a 12-er right now, I mean, even Reese has been in a downswing, but I would still use him. After Harden, Paul Capella, I don't know if I really like any of these guys at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're one of the more top-heavy teams as far as fantasy goes in all of basketball. The opposite of kind of the Grizzlies and the Nets and those types of teams. So, Son, you were talking about the New Orleans and their pace of play, and you know, obviously for fantasy owners, that's like the greatest thing to hear is when players on it. So what players are benefiting the most, you think, on New Orleans, that might be out there? Well, anybody that could be available? I mean,
I mean, Etwan Moore, Darius Miller, Feeney, you know, some threes. I mean, Okafor is getting minutes. Ian Clark, he's been showing that he's hoisting up shots. He had a few big games where he got hot. So I mean, those fringe guys. Sorry.
I mean, I've watched a few of their games, and Rondo actually looks okay. He's still available in half of leagues, and
he does.
You know, he's averaging almost 8 assists for the season. But if you look at his numbers over the last 30 days, it's pretty decent everywhere. I mean, he's shooting 40% from the line, but he's only on 1 a game, so it's not really hurting you. If you do need some assists, which usually most people do, he's not the worst option right now. I mean, I think Mirotić has a chance to really go off soon. He's ice cold the last month. Definitely. He's only shooting 40%, but he's actually averaging 1.2 steals, 1.5 blocks. So if he ends up getting on like a decent run from the field, we could see some pretty absurd, 18 and 10 lines with, three threes and a steal and 2 blocks or something. Like, he's in a great spot right now. Obviously, Drew and Davis is on an MVP level right now, and Drew's playing at an all-star level for the last month plus.
Yeah, Davis has been the number one fantasy guy, right?
If you look at his numbers for the last 30 days, he's averaging 34-13 with 2.3 assists, 2.3 steals, 2.6 blocks, 50% from the field, 82% from the line, shooting almost 10 a game and over a 3 a game. Like, it's like he's so far ahead of the field, it's ridiculous. And you just, you know, the one scary thing I look at, I see 38 minutes a game, you know, and you just pray to God that he could stay healthy for you the rest of the way.
Because and it's always something dumb, right? That'll hurt him.
It's never something serious. And it would be usually, you know, when I played a lot of DFS, like, I'd always manage to take him, and he'd leave the game like 4 minutes into the game too, and just destroys your night. But
or he broke a nail playing Candy Crush in the locker room before the game, and he's got his hand wrapped.
Right, but I think Sun's right. I probably would pick Etuan Moore out of the secondary guys the most, just because he gives you some good steals too, and you know, 2 to 4 assists on a regular basis, so it's not like a complete drag knock, at least with the steals, but. Yeah, they're playing so fast right now, and it's working as long as, like I said, hopefully Davis can stay out for them, because I thought out of these 10 teams fighting for it, I thought they were the most likely to fall out. And maybe they still will. Their schedule is pretty brutal the rest of the way, but, you know, to be where they are now, actually sitting in the five spot in the West is pretty remarkable.
This could be a second year in a row where we hear about Rajon Rondo pushing a low, you know, a 7-8 seed, like, with good momentum going into the playoffs. So, you know, we'll see if he can stay healthy this year as well. But he's putting up a lot of dimes lately and should keep doing so. So what do you guys think? I know Danilo Gallinari came back, looked good, and then, of course, has, like, a little injury that the x-rays are negative. But for some reason... And he was like, I want to play in the next game, and then 3 days later, still not playing. Tyrone Wallace, what do you guys think about Tyrone?
He's great. You know, he plays well. He plays hard. Can shoot. Can drive. And I mean, the most important thing, he's getting minutes, right? He got 30 minutes the last game, and you know he's shown when he's gotten minutes, and you know when he's getting
37.
37, yeah. So when he's been given the opportunity, he's been producing. So, anytime any of those guys are out, so I think it's both Bradley and when both Bradley and Gallo are out, he's pretty much a lock for 30-plus minutes. So, I like him a lot.
Cheap in DFS, yeah, right,
Biz? I was going to say, he's a great DFS option, and obviously a streamer as well. Yeah, I just can't help but think, like, if Doc Rivers was still the GM, they probably never find him. But you know, you give him to Doc Rivers, the coach, and he'll get something out of him. And Wallace has been a great find, seemingly out of nowhere. I had no idea who he even was when he first came up to the team, and they had to play him because all their team was basically injured. And he's found a way to become a mainstay in the rotation. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he plays hard. I was at the Suns Clippers game on Friday. And man, he plays hard, and that's I like the Clippers team a lot. I love that trade that they did. Mm-hmm. That has been huge. It's DeAndre Jordan looks like he's having fun out there. They're just and they're lighting it up. They couldn't miss. Yeah.
Even Harrell, when Jordan's not out there, they've kind of made it a point to crash the boards a little more, and they're really killing teams on the glass. And I feel like more teams should start to do that, honestly, because everyone now, someone takes a three and everyone's just running back because they don't want to give up transition. But with all these teams playing small lineups, I feel like teams should probably start crashing the boards more. I mean, when Oklahoma City almost beat Golden State, they killed them between Adams and Kanter just on the boards. Like, as a Utah fan, I really wish that they would even do it more with Gobert and Favors both out there. Still the Thunder. I mean, for my money... Steven Adams probably the best rebounder in the league. You know, a lot of times it's him just boxing out for other guys to get the actual rebound, but he's just a tank. It's an interesting thing because every team's going one way, and they might be better off going another.
Well, and that's the thing with rebounding is it's all these guys are big, all these guys are fast, all these guys are strong. Rebounding comes down to positioning, just anticipating. So knowing what it's a lot like poker. Like, you're not always going to get it right, but you could figure out what the odds are. You know, if a guy's shooting from the left wing, that the rebound's probably going to go long towards the right wing. You know, long shots can be long board. Like, you can anticipate these things. And Steven Adams, if you love watching him play, because he gets himself in such good position. That's what Dennis Rodman was the king of. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest guy, not known for being a really smart guy. But when it came to rebounding, he was a genius. He knew exactly.
He was a savant.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Right. Well, I always have the I always think of someone who's the complete opposite was Reggie Evans. That guy just tried to see, he'd steal rebounds from his teammates on purpose, just to, pass numbers.
Oh, yeah. He'd be 2 points and 20 boards.
Yeah. But there'd be one, going right to another guy, and he'd, basically cut in front of them or dive in front of them to get the rebound.
That's
not doing any good for the team.
Like, Daryl Arthur is kind of like that on the Nuggets, guys like that.
Right.
And then speaking of the Nuggets, that was my way of getting into a segue there, but pulling Daryl Arthur out of my ass. So Millsap coming back. The Nuggets, look, first of all, can we just give it up for Jokic? I mean, this dude is putting up historic – to the fastest triple-double in history. Yeah,
that was amazing.
When Westbrook got, I think, a 19-minute triple-double – everyone was like, that's got to be the fastest ever. And then you look it up and you realize some dude got him in 17 minutes or something, who's no one's ever heard of in the 1950s or something, when it was still a freaking wood basket, I think, as a hoop with a, apple basket with the bottom cut out. What was it? 13 or 14 minutes? I mean, what? and then to get three in a row. And if you look, he's almost gotten eight in a row. Or something, just a couple assists and boards here and there. Is this kid – are the Nuggets going to make moves in the playoffs this year when Millsap comes back? What do you think, son?
Yeah, I was high on them coming into the year. I was pretty much bullish on everybody. I took some heat before.
You love Murray.
Yeah, I love Murray. I was really high on Jokic. I like Chandler, Harris. I just thought the offense would be so good. I loved the Millsap acquisition. I thought he would be able to play well, fit well in the system, and play well alongside Jokic. I was a little disappointed that Millsap got hurt, so we weren't really able to see the full extent of what they could do. But I'm pretty excited about his return and I think they can do some damage in the playoffs. But it remains to be seen.
It all depends if they can get up to the sixth seed, right? Golden State, they're dead. Yeah. But if they end up playing Minnesota or the Spurs, I think they would have a shot. I also think there still is some chance that they miss the playoffs, too. I don't think that's going to happen, mostly because – even if Millsap's a little sluggish, it just saves them from playing these fucking dumb lineups. I'm sorry, but playing Plumlee next to Jokic or another center next to him, it just infuriates me. And that's not going to happen just because they put Millsap out there, and he's going to help the defense quite a bit too. So, I like this Nuggets team. They're going to get even better going forward, and fantasy-wise, it probably downticks a decent amount of guys, and Millsap probably won't get ramped up for a little bit. They're saying 18 and 24 minutes tonight, and I don't know how much more they'll even push him, past that the rest of the season.
Is he playing for sure tonight?
That's a report from Chris Dempsey, the Altitude Sports said.
Okay.
But, he's expected to see 18 to 24 minutes. We'll see if it happens.
He'll be available to play tonight versus.
But, the game started.
It's already started. Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't start, so they still left Barton and Chandler's playing power forward. So.
It kind of sucks for Trey Lyles.
Lyles,
who I like. We all like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a fan in Utah. I know I'm not bitter, but they got Donovan Mitchell because they traded him. And it doesn't take away from Lyles being a really good prospect in his own right, at least on the offensive end. He's been a really good value in deeper leagues and a solid streamer, and I'm guessing he's going to be the one that's going to lose the most value. Chandler too, or it's either going to be probably Chandler or Barton as well. One of them is probably going to play last minutes at the same time, but Lyles is going to be the guy I think who's going to use the most.
I think Chandler and Lyles are the most the two that are going to get most negatively affected. Barton, like, he plays like 40 minutes every game. It's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
Barton has got to be maybe the most underrated fantasy player out there. This guy produces every year. And he's a great fantasy player. He puts in across the board type of stats. It would be really cool. I mean, I love where he's at with Denver, but I would love to see him get, where he's consistently a starter. But maybe he's better off as like this sixth man, Lou Williams type of guy. I mean, what do you think, Will, as far as Will Barton goes? I mean, is he
– how old is that guy?
27.
He's 47. He's actually a free agent this year. So it'll be interesting to see how much money he gets and whether Denver tries to keep him or not.
Yeah.
Do you guys even remember how he went there? I remember he was on Portland, and I just remember Damian Lillard being pissed about him. Like, I don't even know who this guy is. Like, he was barely he played 10 minutes a game his last year in Portland. They traded him in a first-round pick, lottery protected, for Aaron Aflalo. Like, good job.
No way. Aaron Aflalo has been involved in some of the worst deals ever simply because they involved Aaron Aflalo.
It's also amazing that Aaron is also on the Magic right now. He had his stretch of just being a decent, a decent fantasy scorer at least, but those days are.
Vogel was actually giving him some minutes earlier in the season, which was crazy.
I don't get what it is with that guy, man. He's not even that great a shooter. Like, so okay, so we're getting up. We've been talking for a while. Anything you guys wanna wrap up with?
No, not in particular. I mean, Craig wanted to have a talk about Trae Young because I'm much lower on him than he is, but we saved that for when he's on, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about the tank quite a bit last time. I think the Knicks are the team who they're in ninth right now, but they're free falling and they're trying to tank even harder than you did. That Moutier trade looks like a total tank move, to be honest. He's actually putting up okay fantasy numbers, but he has just been brutal. Like, when they're on the court, they're awful. There's no way around it. And shockingly, Trey Burke has been really good. And, you know, if you look at a lot of their box scores, Burke and Frankie Smokes, they're plus players when they're out there. And when Moody is out there, they're getting murdered. So, I mean, you're already seeing the Grizzlies have already lost 10 in a row. The Nets are falling off, and that Cleveland pick is looking better. They've only won one of their last 10 games. I mean, obviously, the Suns are horrible. They've lost 10 in a row. Kings have lost 4 in a row. Magic have lost 6 in a row. Hawks 4 in a row. Bulls 5. Like, the teams who play, you know, the teams that are fighting for the playoffs that play the most games against these bottom end teams are really going to clean up at the end. Like, you're going to see some absurd point lines and money lines through just because people are going to want to bet against these teams literally every game they're out there. And, you know, I know David Locke, who's the Jazz radio guy, does the Lockdown podcast. He did a breakdown of like the West schedule, and, you know, Utah still has a ton of games against these bottom teams. I think New Orleans had the least, and that's the one concerning thing for them the rest of the way. But this tank race is only starting to get going.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I know Sun and I went back and forth on the Tyreek Evans thing, and it looks like they're going to give us the old these little injuries that are popping up here and there. Now, with and ribs is going to be a real easy one for them to either play him limited minutes or keep him out back-to-backs, or because ribs is one that you can milk, I think, for pain levels and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens there. You know, Reek's going to want to play because he wants to get paid. So we'll see what happens there. But
to be fair, he was getting over 30 minutes a game. So
true.
I think you were right. You were right in your assessment. So
well, at least initially, there's still a little bit of season to go. Yeah, like we saw what happened when Cuban like came out and said it. Like, you can't just come out and say it. Like, you can't just come out and say that you're tanking. I forget, there was a player they were interviewing, and someone asked them about tanking, and his comment was, "I'm not familiar with that form of military arsenal," or something like
Lopez. Robin
Lopez. Lopez, because the Bulls.
Military artillery. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that military artillery.
I thought that was pretty clever.
But to your point of, you know, not being blatant in terms of tanking, but I mean, you know, Hinkie pretty much put it out there, trust the process, right?
He did it his own way, right? He, instead of just benching guys, he just filled the team with, like, way below replacement level players.
Yeah,
right?
On expiring deals. Yeah.
Like, genius.
If you look at the rosters from, like, the Sixers in 2014 or 15, it's like, who are these guys? Like, Henry Sims was playing a lot of minutes, and Carl Landry was still playing a lot of minutes. Elton Brand was still playing a lot of minutes. And the coaching did it their own way to tank too, right? Like, they played it at an absurdly fast pace to get more possessions, so they didn't get any, like, cheap wins from playing super slow. Yeah. You're seeing this lately, like, the Mavericks have been playing a lineup with Salah Mejri and Maxi Kleber together a lot. Like, these guys, these coaches know what they're doing to try to make themselves lose games. Like, regardless of whether their best guys are out there or not, they're going to just start some just absurd lineups that are awful. And with it being the last year of this current wait for the percentages, I mean, you're just going to see it bomb out, especially the Kings and Grizzlies are going to show no shame, because the Kings definitely don't have their first next year, and the Grizzlies, it's only top eight protected. So this could be their last guarantee.
That's why grab Skull, grab Dwight Powell.
Scal for sure. Bogdanovich.
I know Sun's a big Dwight Powell guy.
I like Powell.
I'm not a big
Skal guy. So like sell me on Skal. I'm not a big
So
Skal.
Blame that one on me or yeah, praise me. Like, either me, way, I'll put it
hear,
out there.
Yeah, let me hear your sell job on Skal.
My sell job on Skal? Yeah. I think if he's getting 28 to 30 minutes a night, I think you're looking at 18 to 20 points, 6 to 8 boards, a couple of blocks. Hoping for a couple assists, maybe a steal. I'd like to see a better field goal percentage for a big guy. He's not super efficient, but he can be. So I don't know. I mean, when you're looking at the waiver wire and you're in a deeper league, he's a name you're going to see. And when I evaluate pickups, I look for points. If guys can score, then I take it from there. But if there's a guy on the waivers who's capable of getting you 20, 25 points, he shouldn't be sitting on your waiver wire. That's my opinion.
I liked him a lot as a prospect, and he hasn't really shown as much as I thought he was going to. But I think a fit of him next to Cauley Stein isn't so bad. I actually think eventually my hope with Skal is he gets a little bigger and he can play the five. I think you can get a block per game when he's playing 25 minutes, and probably, I don't know, if he's playing 30 minutes even, 15 and 6 with a block, maybe.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't hold him, but I think it's a good stream at least, depending on, you know, if you see Randolph's going to sit, then it's a no-brainer, or even if Cauley Stein's going to sit. He's not going to light the world on fire by any means, but they have no reason to not play him. I mean, if you look at their other big guys, Cauley Stein, they know who he is at this point, and none of their other bigs are interesting. They're all old guys, so you would hope he'd get some minutes. But I mean, there's a lot of scales around the league, really, to be honest. Like Torian Prince now should be playing a lot more minutes now that Ilyasova got bought out.
Yeah, he blew up. He blew up last game.
Right. Yeah, and you know, who knows? Maybe Deadman will get bought out still, or he's going to start playing less.
Collins is another guy I really like.
Exactly. Right.
But he doesn't have the scoring potential that Skal has, in my opinion.
He does. He does. He's got a nice shot. He's got a nice shot. I saw him.
He does. It just depends. Yeah. So it depends if Schroeder is going to keep taking 20 shots a game or what. Hey, you know,
I have Collins and Skal on one team, so I put my money where my mouth is.
Collins is going to be way more efficient. For sure. He might not get the amount of points, but the efficiency.
More boards.
And the boards definitely better. The blocks will probably be similar. So Depends on your team needs there, what you're looking for, if you need more points or if you just want the field goal percentage and the extra
board. I'd still take Jared Allen over both of them, though.
Oh, God, marketing was vicious.
Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But did you see marketing come back and try to just drill it?
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Competitor. The marksman.
I don't give a guy crap for trying to in that case, taking a charge was kind of hopeless, but trying to block a shot and getting dunked on, like, who cares, man? Like, if you actually pull the block off, like, I remember
Wiggins
did it to Gobert, and then Gobert blocked him the next time. Like, just that kind of battle. I just like it more than a guy just, like, getting out of the way. Like,
I appreciate
Mark at least trying to do something, I suppose.
Jarrell and the Marks.
Here's my question for you guys. Granted, Allen played 28 minutes today, but before that, I mean, he was barely touching 24 minutes a game. I don't understand why they don't just unleash him. Like, what do you guys think?
Why would they play a Mecca Okafor and take minutes away from him? I have no idea. I think they're trying to play every guy on their team every game. Like a CYO game, like, where everybody's got to get, like, 2 or 3 minutes, so the moms are going to get angry and say something. I don't know. I think we will see Allen start to get more and more minutes personally. I don't know what's going on with Okafor. Like, maybe they're going to try to trade him or something. Like, I have no idea what that's all about. The guy hasn't played in 3 years, and you're not playing for anything. So, I don't know. Viz, what do you think?
I don't want to even start guessing what these teams are.
I know.
In Brooklyn's case, right? They don't have their own pick. They are incentivized to play, all these younger guys. And if you look at their team over the last month, they have 15 guys that are averaging at least 11 and a half minutes a game.
That's what I'm saying. Play. Like, they're trying to play everyone. Yeah.
I don't know. You kind of start thinking they're not going to play Damari Carroll 30 minutes. They're not going to play a bunch of these guys. It might be just an awful, awful fantasy situation because, besides Russell, and it looks like Dinwiddie, I don't know who's going to get these guaranteed minutes. I mean, you would think RHJ.
Joe Harris, 30 minutes a game.
LeVert. I like LeVert.
Yeah, I like LeVert too.
He's going to get hurt, though. Yeah.
Right. He already has been hurt. He played 20. He's the guy who's going to play 20 minutes one game. The next game, he's going to play like 32, and then he's going to play 18 again, and you're just going to be so tilted about it.
I own Allen. I'm happy with that.
When JB did this last year, he kept calling Atkinson Kenny Asshat because they kept getting wrong over and over again which guy to play, because then he wouldn't play that many minutes the next game. And, it just comes. You think about how different it would be if Jeremy Lin didn't get hurt the first game of the year.
Oh man!
How much better the team would have been in general, but just like how they would have divvied up these minutes. I mean, we probably never see Spencer Dinwiddie, right? It's kind of crazy to think about because he's been outstanding. Probably the best contract in the league because he's getting the minimum next year, and I think the year after too.
I have Lin too, and somehow I didn't get Dinwiddie. Yeah, I wish I'd ended up with Dinwiddie. I got Tyreek Evans though. That helped get me into first. If I grabbed Dinwiddie too, I'd be unstoppable right now. So, son, where can everyone find you on Twitter, on the internet, on dating sites? How can people find you, son?
You can find me at Jewish. .com what is it? singlejewish.com, whatever.
Single
now you can find me on the Twitter machine at Stan_Sun. I'm doing the daily recaps for Hoops and just editing all the content from all the writers that are, they're pumping out a lot of good content. So, come check out the site, interact with everybody. We all comment, all the other commentators, it's a little kumbaya session. So, come out and check us out and, tell us, give us your thoughts.
I think isn't the Jewish dating site called mymomthinksimgreat.com? My mom says I'm a catch.com. Viz, where can everyone find you?
I am at RazballViz on Twitter. The hockey site, posting every day or every other day at the least. join an RCL for baseball too. That's good. The signups are going on for that right now. They're cranking out a podcast once a week. Obviously, us football one. You know, those guys are still doing a football pod every week or two. So, a lot of good stuff depending on what you're looking for. Basically, every sport. But you guys are taking charge of the basketball posting and just podcasting for now. But for any specific questions you have, definitely ask either on this podcast post, the daily notes, and a bunch of people, whoever, will be sure to answer it.
Absolutely. Yeah. If somehow you're listening to this podcast and you're not familiar with Razzball, amazing community. I've been going to that site for years and years and years. Started with the baseball, watched it grow, became a contributor to the football part. Then a couple years later, started contributing to basketball. Now I'm contributing to basketball and baseball and doing the podcast, and really is a great spot for all of your fantasy sports stuff. So go check out razzball.com, check out basketball.razzball.com. You can find me, Brent. I'm at the Fantasy Dick, the Fantasy Dick on Twitter. Ask me comments. I help out with the recaps. I'll contribute some articles here and there. Frequently will jump in and snipe other people's questions and try to answer them. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. So come on there if you like fantasy sports. We all like talking about it. And keep listening to the podcast. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Sun. Thank you, Viz. We'll see you next week. Viz, we'll get this posted. And, yeah, we try to do it consistently. I think Wednesday mornings every week there'll be a new podcast up. So stay tuned. We'll do special ones when crazy things happen. And look forward to seeing you in the comments.
All right, cool. Always good talking with you guys.
Yep, take care, guys.